Can you say amen?
Amen.
No, go. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about anybody else. Maybe it's a little bit different with me, but I'm very excited. I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about what God is doing in the world today. Hallelujah. Because God is moving. I see Him moving in Africa. I see Him moving in Germany. I see Him moving in Europe. I see God moving. He's moving in Uganda. He's moving in even in Nairobi. I said that one for Brother Tijoki's benefit. He's moving in Ethiopia. He's moving in Nigeria. God is moving. Hallelujah. And in His moving, He's tearing down kingdoms and principalities. And He's not tearing them down in the manner of going in like a stormtrooper ripping things down. He's going in very softly and gently, moving into the midst of a situation or a circumstance. I see Him moving in Sierra Leone, even in the midst of the tribulation and the trouble that they now have because of Ebola. But I want to tell you something about Ebola. It is a conquered foe.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It is a conquered foe.
Amen.
And I want you to know that Ebola, or whatever it may be, Marburg or whatever, whatever the virus is, that Satan is going to loose on humanity. And brethren, he's going to loose it. He's going to loose it. It is a conquered foe. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he that what? Abideth under His wing. What is the promise? The pestilence that wasteth at noonday shall not come nigh your dwelling.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when I got off the airport in Lagos, and Ebola came in 2 days before us, and was our welcoming party. Praise the Lord. The Lord spoke to me that scripture. He spoke to me almost in an audible voice. That scripture concerning the issue of what it is. And one of the other things that he spoke to me when we were confronted, he says, it is bioterrorism, and it is going to be a global confrontation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know, I noticed, I read something in the paper, or saw it on the news somewhere, praise the Lord. There was a group of people who were trying to blackmail the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
In particular, I believe the city of Prague. And that if they did not pay, I think it was American money, $1.2 million, hallelujah, they were going to contaminate Prague. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, we have to have an authority. Brethren, we have to have a position of relationship with the living God. We have to have a doctrine that is not church. We have to have a doctrine that has an essence of life, that no matter where God sends us or what comes to invade our personal environment, we have the authority to rise up in God and to rebuke it. And that only comes by position of personal relationship. That only comes by position of personal way, where you and I begin to walk and talk with a living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not satisfied with just these types of meetings. Coming in, hearing a word, being blessed, and then going out. I want to take that blessing with me. I want to develop that blessing. I want to bring that blessing to a place of fruition in my life. Hallelujah. That I might be able to overcome whatever it is that the devil is going to throw at humanity. And we have just seen, when you look down there and you read the statistics, 10,000, 12,000 died. Hallelujah. 12,000 died by this Ebola virus. Hello? Hallelujah. Then there's another one called Marburg. We came out of Nigeria back to Ethiopia, and then we went to Uganda, where we ran into this virus called Marburg. Hallelujah. It says that Ebola virus has a kill rate of 50%. Marburg has a kill rate of about 90%. Almost 100%. Hallelujah. We are facing the end of time. When blackness is going, when darkness is going to be released in the fullest extent. And God has calling a people to stand in the breach. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, brother. Some of you have heard it before. When you're confronted with something like this, you know, your environment here, you never don't think that somebody could get this type of thing because the CDC gets on top of it and they're doing whatever they're doing. But I'm telling you, the CDC does not have the capability of fighting the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. There's only one contingent of people who have the power to overcome the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that is the people who have the unction and the anointing of God, who have the word of God, not in their minds, not in their vocabulary, but they become the walking, talking word of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not supposed to be quoting scripture because we have memorized the verse. We are supposed to speak scripture in our lives and in the actions of our doing. Hallelujah. Not in the things that we say, it is the things that we do and how we respond to certain situations. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me pray before I get going here. Father, I want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see the necessity that I have, Lord, to sanctify my thoughts and my mind, to sanctify not just now, Lord, but in the preparation of coming. The sanctification of God that works within the inward parts of my being. My God, I pray for the loosening of the anointing. We loose it, my God, this morning. That we might walk, that we might move, that we might have our being in you. I pray for the ears of the hearers. Father, I pray that you would the unction, the anointing of God would anoint those ears. Not to hear what I'm saying in a natural arena, but they would hear the voice of God that would be speaking to them concerning what it is that God has to say to them. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Or say oh me. Oh me or amen. Just say something.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Whitbold, I heard you had a little problem on the way here. And we want to pray for you if I could. I feel quickened to do that. Father, I come by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see our brother. You see his family. We thank you, God, for covering them. And no harm is being done to them. And Father, you see the situation, the circumstance that can bring distress, that can bring discomfort, that can bring some agitation in the natural arena. We rebuke it by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, the Bible says that all things work together for good for them that called according to your service and according to their love for you. And Father, the criteria is met and the good comes. So Father, we pray. We loose the good this morning. We loose it, my God, that you might move and bring forth the blessing in the midst of this adverse circumstance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you might want to open them to John chapter 17. Hallelujah. There was a word the Lord spoke to me this morning. As we began to sing one of the songs, there was a word the Lord spoke to me out of John 17. And I think I will go up to let's go to verse 15. Now you know the context, right? John 17, God is praying. Well, Jesus the man, praying by the Spirit. I guess you could say God is praying, couldn't you? God is praying for his disciples. He knows that his time is short. He knows he's about to go through the greatest test and the trial of his human experience. Hallelujah. He also, by virtue of the knowledge of God, he also knows what his disciples are going to be having to contend with. So he's not praying in ignorance. You understand? He's not praying without being aware that there is a particular need for these people, but not only for these people, but the people that are going to come after him. Why? Because he knows the power of the word that is given to these people and the tribulation that comes because of it. Hello? Did you hear me? Hallelujah. There are certain words that you hear from God that bring tribulation. Hallelujah. In hearing the word of salvation, I don't know about you, I can only testify to my own experience, but in hearing the word of salvation, I was in a set of circumstances with unbelievers. Huh? And I had been fellowshipping with those unbelievers for a number of years. But when I got the word of salvation, that word of salvation, though it lifted me, though it freed me, though it moved in my circumstances to bring relief and to relieve me of my burden, I began to be persecuted by my so-called friends. Hallelujah. Have you ever had that experience? Every word of God brings a persecution. If there's no persecution, it's not a word of God. Hallelujah. Because that's what the scripture said. He says, I have what? What did he say? John 17. I have given them thy word. And what? And the world hath what? Hated them. Now, it doesn't say that the brethren hate him. It says the world hates them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that kind of animosity, that kind of position of aggravation, irritation, and frustration that comes in that arena between brethren, we have to examine the source from which it is coming. Hello? Hallelujah. Because if we are believing the same word, if we are cleaving to the same word, if we are moving and allowing that word, hallelujah, we are allowing that word to work mightily within us, praise God, hallelujah. It should bring a continuity. It should bring a union, a bonding. It should bring a position or a place of camaraderie. Hallelujah. Because that is really pertinent in what the word says. If the word says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, what is the opposite of those who have received that word? Huh? Hallelujah. But we have to examine what word is it that we have. If you find yourself at odds in a situation in and amongst brethren, you have to ask yourself, not them, yourself, myself. Let me say it that way. I have to ask myself, now, what word am I believing? Because I am to be cohesive. You know why? Is that a good word? I'm supposed to be cohesive. That means I come with a word that you have the same word. There is a cohesion, an adjoining, a gluing together of that word. Praise the Lord. As far as our fellowship is concerned. And anything outside that word wants to bring a division and a separation. Praise God. He says up here, so he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for them. In verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world. So the word that he has given them is not a natural word. It's not a normal word. It's not a word like any other word that is in the world. Hello? Hallelujah. So what is that word? What is it? What does it pertain to? What is it supposed to do? We have to have that understanding. If we want to, we have to first identify what word do I have and what word is it that Jesus gave that I might, is my word compatible with His word? Hello? There's many variations of the word, you know. Hallelujah. But we have one sure testimony, one very sure testimony, one exact extreme testimony in the Word of God. And it's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I got that page wore out in my Bible, by the way. I had to rewrite it here myself. Not rewrite it in my words, but just rewrite the letters of it. Hallelujah. And what he said, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and so forth and so on. The important part of that word is in the aspect of what it was God wanted to do, and what word it was that God gave him at the very beginning. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, when God established a precedent in Genesis 1:26, it is a precedent that overshadows the totality of the entire word. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Because in God's mind, He had a particular objective. In God's mind, He had a particular position, a particular place that He wanted man to wind up at the end of the day. Hello? And because men who lived and died didn't necessarily make that connection, does not necessarily mean that God does not still have the same objective. Because it tells us in Hebrews, hello? Is it chapter 10? I think it's verse 39, maybe. Or maybe it's 11:39. Anyway, it's one of those chapters, last verse, it says that these all dying, dying how? How did they die? Not receive the promise. Hallelujah. And you know, God didn't leave us in doubt as to who they were. He went back to the very beginning of the Bible. Hallelujah. And He named individuals who had lived, who had died for one concept, one thought, one objective, and that was being in a position of what the Bible calls sonship. Hallelujah. And you know, I suppose you could make it ambiguous. This thought of God's likeness, I suppose you could make it an ambiguous thing. You know what I mean? Kind of blurry, not so definite, not so outlined, if it were not for a man called Paul. God needed Paul to bring correction to the church because the church was becoming denominationalized. That's why we have the book of Romans, you know. Hallelujah. That's why we have the book of Romans. Hello? Are you listening to me? Are you hearing what the Lord is saying? And Paul devoted a whole chapter specifically to that thought, to that intent. Huh? He starts out in the eighth chapter, he starts out with this word. He says, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Hello? Hallelujah. And now, he's not talking about a religious demeanor. He's not talking about a religious thought. He's not talking about a congregation or a people who join together to come to fellowship and have church. Hello? Because he defines it. He says, for we have not, in verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Well, that still could be somewhat ambiguous, couldn't it? Huh? To call God Abba, to call Him Father. Well, you know, it's a familiar term. Everybody knows what it is. But Paul goes on. God wanted you and I to know the reality of where it is He wants to bring us at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Now, and I don't know, but when I first heard this message, I was told that this message was being given to a people who would have the ability or the capacity of experience and life living changes in their life to combat the total darkness of what the Bible calls 666. Huh? The total mentality of Satan, the total mentality of darkness under the jurisdiction of a prince that is called the Prince of Darkness. Hallelujah! You don't believe that? Huh? You don't believe it anymore? Huh? Hallelujah! You need to listen to me. You need to listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying. That's what you need to be doing. Listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says down here, he doesn't leave us. Hallelujah. He says, the Spirit itself, verse 16, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. That we are the technon, or the children of God. Technon, in the Greek terminology, is the product that is inherited from a father. Hello? Did you hear it? We are the technon of God. Does your spirit bear witness with His spirit? Huh? Hallelujah. Does it bear witness? If it doesn't bear witness, my goodness, you've got a problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we are wanting, the church has taught us, we cannot have this until we pass over. We cannot have this until we die. We cannot have this until we come into that realm of heaven in the afterlife. Huh? It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Hallelujah. You know, there were 9 people infected with Ebola. In Nigeria, when that man came in, there were 9 people who were infected by that Ebola spirit. 9 people. And one of the ladies who was infected was one of the doctors. Because when the man, he seemed as though he was trying to intimidate anybody and everybody he could. And one of the doctors got infected by it. Hallelujah. And she happened to be a colleague of a friend who we knew in the fellowship, of a relative of a friend that we knew in the fellowship. Hallelujah. So we begin to pray against that spirit. We begin to pray against that spirit. We begin to come against the spirit of death. We begin to come against the spirit of contamination. We begin to rebuke the devil. Do you know she was the only one that lived? She's the only one that lived. God raised her up out of the bed of affliction. Hallelujah. God moved in His mighty, mighty, mighty. Every one of those, other one of those people who had that the disease, that virus, died. Hallelujah. And you know what? The environment in which she was in. I don't know. You know, you think of a hospital. You think of it being sanitized and clean and all the instruments and everybody's taken care of. That wasn't the situation. They took her and they isolated her in an abandoned wing of a hospital. And they had to take care of themselves. And there was no running water. Hallelujah. No running water. Hallelujah. And the place was filthy. It was dirty. Hallelujah. And in that environment, against all odds,
yes.
Hallelujah, that woman lived.
Hallelujah.
That woman lived.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how she marks it up, and I don't know what credit she gives to God, and I don't need to hear her accreditation. All I need to know is we pray, God move, and she's alive.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says here in the... We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Go down. Hallelujah. 16. The spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to go back to Ebola. I got off the airplane and we found out about this thing. And Ebola is spread by contact. That means body fluids, contact. That means sweat. Huh? Sweat has the ability to pass the virus. Is that right? Hallelujah. He's a doctor, by the way, so you can ask him. Hallelujah. And you know, you're always sweating whether you know it or not. And in the place that I was in the environment I was in, it was hot, it was humid, and everybody was sweating. Huh? And the guards, they're wearing gloves. Or the people in the air, they're wearing gloves, you know. Hallelujah. But their gloves, they don't change them. They don't change them. They just handle this, handle that, handle your passport, handle your luggage, get in it, pull it out. You don't know who they've been around. You don't know who they've touched. You don't know what they've got. You don't know what they're giving you. Oh, they're safe. They got gloves on. But then I seen a man take them off with his bare hands. Huh? And throw them down in the garbage can. What is the mentality here? Hallelujah. 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 And so it's touch. And I, when you know, in airports, some airports, you have to walk up and down stairs. And I'm not as young as I used to be or as steady as I used to be. So I'm always having to use the handrail. Huh? And I reach for that handrail. And I'm saying, oh. Hallelujah. We bought these little sanitizers, you know. I don't think I've ever washed my hands as many times in my whole 70 years as I have washed my hands on those days. And brethren, do you know how many times you take your hand to your mouth? Huh? I know you don't. You don't have any reason to think about it. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I'm thinking about it. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about it. Hallelujah. He says here, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, but we have received the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, what? Then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Uh-oh, that's the good part. That's the good part. Here's the better part. Here's the better part. Hallelujah. That we are the children of God. He said, joint heirs with Christ. Everybody wants to be a joint heir, right? Amen. Maybe you don't. You want to be a joint heir? Amen. Huh? You know, it's not so much in this country. I don't think. It's not so much in this country, but in a lot of countries, the firstborn gets everything. Yeah. Is it like that in Europe? Yes, like that in there. I know that. Most of Africa, in fact. The firstborn gets it all. And, you know, the firstborn gets it all. And if the firstborn is generous, he might dole out a little here and there just to try to keep you calm. He gets everything. That means that the man who is the firstborn steps into the shoes of his father. And he becomes, as it were, not just the representation of the father, But as it were, he is recognized with the same authority, in the same position, in the same place as the Father. Hallelujah. 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 And it does not only say that we are heirs of God. Huh? Hallelujah. It does not only say that we are heirs of God. It says we are
joint
heirs with God. Not then, not sometime down in the future, brethren, when we become born again, when we have received that spirit of adoption, we have been transplanted out of our familiar family into the family of God, and God looks at us as part of that son company of people. And he doesn't, there is no respecter of persons in God. Hello? There's only one, God has one position of respect concerning this position of being an heir of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. All right. Praise God. What does it mean if we suffer with him? Jesus. Go back to John chapter 17. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go back down here. I have given them thy word. And the world have hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You can put your finger there, and you can turn back over to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to identify the word, and we're going to identify the purpose for which the word has, the purpose that the word has. Says John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, brethren, there's no differentiation between John chapter 1 and John chapter 17, verse 14. There's no differentiation in the Word. The Word is the same Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if you were to go into John chapter 17, you go back up a few verses, huh? Hallelujah. You go back up a few verses. Go back up here. It says in verse 5. Let's go up to verse 4. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does he mean? I have glorified thee on the earth. What does he mean? He says, Father, I have manifested thy nature. Did you hear it? I have manifested thy nature. I have manifested the attributes and the qualities of your being. I have given forth the revelation of the authority that has been given to me by virtue of what it was we had in the beginning. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren, say amen. Or Omi or something. Hallelujah. He says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. The purpose of it was, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the life of men that was in Christ Jesus was in the Word that God had in the beginning concerning him and man. Hello? And that Word was, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any other deviation, any other movement off of that goal, hello? Hallelujah. And you miss it. Yes. You know, I'm not really adversed in physics and things of that nature, but when they launch a space capsule or a space thing that they're going to send out there, they have specific coordinates. They have specific coordinates. And those coordinates must be absolutely exact in order for that thing to wind up where it needs to be at the end of the day. Huh? It's amazing. It blows my mind how accurate they have to be. They have recently took a probe. They launched a probe at an asteroid. That asteroid is traveling 60 or 70 or maybe more 1,000 miles an hour. Huh? Am I wrong? Do I got my facts wrong? Huh? They had to launch that probe. They had to launch that probe and bring it to where it had the capability of landing on that asteroid. And you know what? They did it.
10 years ago.
Huh?
10 years ago. Well, not 10 years ago.
Yes. Oh, it was sent 10 years ago. It blows my mind. I didn't know that. It was sent 10 years ago. And it met up just the other day with the asteroid. They landed it. What if they would have been off one little millimeter of a measurement? It would have wound up there at Neptune or something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It would have wound up there in Neptune. How much more precise is God? Huh? When it says a God that has the hairs of my head. Well, that wouldn't be too hard now. But it had the hairs of my head numbered. Huh? Hallelujah. He, a God that knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. Huh? So something so insignificant. How much more precise? Yes. Hallelujah. So when he said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, you think he was not precise in his thinking? Do you think that he really meant something else? Do you think that he has, that's a general objective? Huh? Brethren, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe. And you know what? It puts a burden of responsibility upon me concerning the gospel that I have. It means that I am bought with a price that I could not pay. Amen, amen. And I am bought for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, for a specific time, for a specific event. My God, all these specifics. I'm born for that. Not born in the natural. I was born again. Right. Hallelujah. And I tell you something else that has come home to me and helps me indefinitely in my spiritual walk. I have other people counting on me. I'm not talking about brethren like this. I'm talking about a great crowd of witnesses that is around me. The Bible says, I am surrounded. You know you're surrounded. No, you don't. You don't know how surrounded you are. Hallelujah. I am surrounded by a what? A great cloud of witnesses. Why am I surrounded by them? Amen. Why? Why am I surrounded by them? Why? Why are they encompassing me about? Because they are watching me to see what I am going to do with the word that they had but could not achieve what it was the word was to bring them into. Why? Because they were born out of season. You know, if some of them were born now, they would put us to shame. Huh? We would be like the Model T and they would be like the rocket taking off. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we have an opportunity. We have a position, a place. We have the ability now to break through a veil that has not henceforth been given to man in a corporate sense to break through. Why? Because we're living in the last days. Not the beginning of the last days. The last of the last days. So I have all these people watching me. And they're saying, okay, what is he going to do? What is he? And I can just imagine. You know, I had a dream one time. And I was involved in a situation. And I should have turned right. And I didn't turn right. I turned left. And I heard this, oh my. I heard this, oh my, in the spirit. And I knew it was a groan. You know, you're rooting for somebody, right? Huh? You're rooting. Come on, you can make it. And the guy, okay, you're a football fan, some of you, right? Huh? You got a favorite player. He gets the ball, his, and he starts running, and he dodges this one, and you get up there. Oh, yes, go. And the closer he gets to that goal, or that, the soccer, you know, bam, 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 bam. They're watching him do that, and he's getting closer and closer, and you're like, yes, go. And all of a sudden, somebody goes, bam, and you go, oh. I heard it in the spirit. I heard it in the spirit. And I cannot tell you how it hurt me in my soul. Because they are depending. They are depending. Hallelujah. They are depending on me. If I am depressed, they are depending to me to break through. If I am angry, they are intending for me, wanting me to overcome it. If I have this problem or that problem or this problem, they are encouraging me and exhorting me somehow, some way, imparting strength to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, the older I get, I seem the more cognizant I become of it. Maybe it's the age thing. I don't know. Hallelujah. I don't know. Hallelujah. Brethren, I don't want to be one of those. I really don't want to be one of those who is dependent on this realm to overcome. I want to overcome in this body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 So Jesus in John chapter 17. Now, wait a minute. We're back here in John chapter 1. Hallelujah. He says to them, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of men. That means everything that was God in the beginning, that was now in Christ Jesus, is now going to be imparted to humanity. Of which I am a part. I'm a part of that humanity. Well, at least I think I am. Hallelujah. I'm a part of that humanity. And that impartation is for a particular reason. For as many as received him, to them gave he ousia to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, the power is the word ousia. It's an authoritative operation. It's not something you tell somebody else to do and they do it because you are bigger or better than them. It is something that God gives you that a little child can have.
Amen.
If they believe in the reality of God, if they believe in the aspect of God. And I have seen children who are not safe rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says he's given us ousia. That word ousia, simplified for my purposes. So I can understand it. You get too complicated and I get confused. Simplified for my purposes is the power to choose. Now, I want to read it to you. As many as received to him gave he the power to choose to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Name is nature. Huh? Why did you get saved? Why did you get saved? I know why I got saved. I didn't get saved because I love God. That's maybe be a little blatant. That's why I got saved. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Huh? It wasn't after I got saved Then I found out that I needed to love God in order to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't get saved because I wanted to love God. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. Hello? Hallelujah. But God, in my ignorance, saved me anyway. Why? Because he knew in my canal, my new state of being, I was now attached and he could talk to me. And he began to tell me, you need to love me. Hallelujah. So what does he do? He puts you in unlovable situations where it's impossible for you as a human being to love and to be in that relationship of loving. God, only God can give you love, and you have to love him first. Because that's the first and great commandment, you know. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your being, with all of your might, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. I am to love him. Did I exclude anything? Did I leave something out? No, that's the second one. You can't do that unless you have the first one. Hallelujah. We want to love the neighbor, but we don't want to love God in the way that God wants us to love him. So we give him a piddle-paddle love. We give a piddle-paddle love. Hallelujah. 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 It says, as many as receive him, gave him them power to choose. I'm confronted with anger. I have a right to choose. Do I want to be a man in the world? Do I want to be my way? Do I want to have it the way that I want it? Or I'm going to say, am I going to turn the other cheek? Am I going to give when it's ungivable? What am I going to do? I hear something bad about something. Oh my God. Oh, give me a pain in my ear, please. I don't want to hear something bad that I'm not able to turn over into God. I was listening to a tape. Brother Jusil was ministering. And there was a man that he knew that every time you started talking bad about somebody, he went to sleep. If he was here now, he would be going to sleep all the time. Hallelujah. Every time somebody would start maligning somebody else, he'd go to sleep, start snoring. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know that that's overcoming. Hallelujah. But it demonstrates the extremity of what some people will go to in order to be righteous in their position, their place of relationship. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. So he says, I gave them the power to choose. He says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hello? What were you born of? What is your born again experience? Were you born of the will of God? Is your life demonstrating it? Do you have the same objective that God has? Hello? Hallelujah. Let's go back over here to John chapter 17. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. Hallelujah. And as a verification of what I am saying about Jesus in his position of fulfilling his ministry, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Hello? Well, we know that was a prophetic utterance. Because, you know, these men weren't perfect men. They were far from perfect men. Peter cursed him. John fled off in his underwear, and they all were standing back in the background when they were doing their thing to Jesus Christ. And he said to them, they have kept thy word. You know, he wasn't looking at the natural set of circumstances surrounding those individuals at that particular time. Now, this man just prayed, Father, give me the glory that I had with thee in the beginning. Hallelujah. So he had the omnipotence of God in a human vessel. I believe that when he prayed, he got what he prayed. How do I believe that? Where's the scripture that tells me that? Just down the road. He said, now, Father, the glory that you have given me, what am I going to do with it? Huh? I give it to them. And let's find it. Let's read it.
22.
Verse 22. Hallelujah. And the glory which thou gavest to me, I have given them. What glory? He's talking about the power of the position and the place of sonship. Yes. You know what he has thus done?
Yes.
Huh? He has just now ratified, let me get it right, statutory perfection and sonship. Hallelujah. What were they supposed to do with that? What are they supposed to do with that? Hallelujah. They were to take what was given to them to go out to the world at large and begin to tell them the door was now wide open into God. Wide open. That's what the Bible says in Hebrew. He went through the veil, which was his flesh. Why did he go through the veil? Why was it rent from top to bottom? So that you and I might have the understanding that we have access to God in the same capacity.
Amen.
If we are willing.
Hallelujah.
If we are willing.
If we're willing.
To do what is necessary to obtain it. Hallelujah. 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 And what is that? What is the necessity that is there concerning it? Hallelujah. Well, in John chapter 17, verse 17. Okay, I want to go back. I have given them, verse 14 again. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hallelujah. You want to know how much the world hates Christians? I suggest you look at what is happening over in Syria and
Iraq
and some of those other places.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, they are slaughtering, not just people. They are slaughtering Christians.
Right.
Born again. Bought with the blood, Christian. And they do not have, well, maybe some of them do, but I don't know. But the majority of them do not have your revelation. Huh? We're isolated. We're isolated by our rule of law. Look at Ferguson, how much you have law there. We're isolated by our position of thought as to the position of preeminence that the United States has in the rest of the world. You want to know how much prestige you have? You want to know how much authority you have? You want to know how much respect you have? You come travel with me. You'll find out you're being American, huh? Is not a blessing, it's a detriment. Because they single you out and they bring you into the little rooms and they question you and they want to find some accusation or charge against you. Huh? Huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Brethren, it's coming here.
It's coming. We have never had such an antichrist government.
Jesus.
We have always had an antichrist government for many, many years, but we have never seen the operation of that antichrist nature as we are now seeing it in the world, in the States. They are eradicating everything that pertains to man, and they are exalting what Romans 1 says, that Romans 1 says that it is an abomination before God.
Right.
And they're rewriting the Bible again to take it out. And one day they're going to outlaw this version of the Bible.
Yeah.
Because it makes no bones about that abomination.
Yeah,
that's right. Do you know that they have a no gender Bible now? Huh? It's a no gender, no he, no she. Huh? Hallelujah. I don't know how they do it. I've never seen it, but I've been told, I read in the red where they have made it and they are printing it.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh yes. Come on, brethren. What do they have to do? Come to your home and barge into your house and look for your Bible for you to be a believer? Is that what has to happen? It's coming. It's coming. And we have a word from God concerning a position of a people who are being called to stand up in an authority of God to rebuke that type of darkness. Hallelujah. 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 He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Yeah. I pray not that you should take them. You know, I got a little thought here quick, and got to stop, go to it. I was praying about the slaughter of men, women, and children that is going on. And I'm there in Africa, and it's, you can feel the environment of it, you understand. The spiritual hatred towards you as an individual in God, you can feel the hatred. Hello? And I'm praying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, what is it that we can do? What is it? What is it? How long? How long? How long, God, will you not move or persist? And you know what he did? You know what he said to me? Huh? He took me to Revelation. Let's see. It's when the soul's under the altar. Hallelujah. Where is that? Brother Mark. Brother Jijoki, where is it? The soul's under the altar.
It's chapter 6.
Huh?
Chapter 6 and verse 10.
Chapter 6 of Revelation.
9 and 10.
Hallelujah. Chapter 6, 9 and 10. Hallelujah. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. Now I'm telling you, I was in prayer, I was lamenting, I was travailing for the people of God that were being slaughtered in those places. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God said, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until the fellow servants also with their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. That means there is a quota, a harvest quota of saints. They may not have your word, but they have a true experience. And when they kneel down there and they're told to recant, they declare their position of adoration and servitude to a living God.
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. 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 So we are in perilous times. Let us go back. I pray that thou should take them, chapter 17, verse 5. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Hallelujah. Now, it isn't just the miraculous. God does move in miraculous ways. God does do divine intervention. But sometimes that divine intervention has to come from within. Huh? And I am admonished by the psalmist, as the verse that I quoted in the beginning, I am admonished by the psalmist in 91 that I must dwell. Huh? I must dwell. Where must I dwell? Under. In the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of His wing. I must abide. I must dwell. Hallelujah. There is a responsibility on me. Hallelujah. For the sake of my family, for the sake of my brethren, for the sake of my home and all of the things that pertain to that, there is a burden that is upon me to dwell in that place, not to mention those saints that are surrounding me and those saints that are yet being taken and harvested for the sake of the Scripture. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, there was something very interesting that Jesus said about the Scripture. He says, not one jot or one tittle shall pass away until all be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I pray not that you take them out of the world. Verse 10, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How is that sanctification process? How is it supposed to work? Huh? Is it because I make a confession of faith? Huh? And I have a certain belief in a certain place, in a certain personality? Is that what it is? No. It says in the verse 19, for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hallelujah. I have an obligation. By virtue of a word that has been given to me, for the sake of my brethren, as well as the people of like mind, and the world at large, by the way, not just the brethren, I have to fulfill the sanctification that is delegated to me to bring the reality of the truth that has been given. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, we have a big job.
My God.
It's a big job. You know, they have these different segments of the service. When I was in the service, they didn't have all these other ones, you know, these deals, but they had what they call special forces. And the training for those has cranked up. But in special forces, it wasn't mandatory. Huh? It wasn't mandatory. Service was mandatory in the Army, generally speaking. They even did away with that after a while. Service was mandatory, but special service forces was not mandatory. You had to volunteer. You had to volunteer. You had to say, I want to be a part of this action that is taking place. And you know, what the training they put you through was horrible. They now have documentaries on it, on I'm told, online. Are on the TV programs, documentaries on this type of service. And If you go and look at it, I am sure that you will see a correlation between what is going on in that arena and the place or the purpose for which God puts you or allows you to be put in particular circumstances according to the word that you have got. Huh?
Yes.
I suppose if you want to be part of the generality of Christianity, it's okay. You can do what is the minimal amount. I think the Bible calls it 30-fold. Some brought forth 30-fold. Some brought forth 60-fold. Some brought forth 100-fold. How many-fold do you want to be? And if you want to be 30-fold, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And I mean it sincerely. But, you know, Joshua stood on the banks of the Jordan River. And they were preparing to go across that Jordan and to take the promised land.
Yeah.
There was one tribe that determined to stay back. They were satisfied. They were satisfied with what it was they had. God bless them. God bless them. Hello? Hallelujah. I'm sure there was no thought of division or separation or any thinking, well, they're better than we are, or blah, 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 blah. I don't think there was any of that type of thing going on. Hallelujah. And you know what? They had to go and fight with the rest of the brethren. Nevertheless. Hallelujah. But they were satisfied with it. Personally, I want to have the mentality of God. Of Joshua in that circuit. He says, as for me and my house,
yeah.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't mean just in the menial things of Christianity. I don't want 30 for my household. I don't want 60 for my household. I want 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I stand on the 100%. Huh? Hallelujah. And God, and you know, the recruiter would come. He would come to I was in Fort Ord at the time, in Monterey. The recruiter would come and he would tell you all the benefits. He would tell you all of the place and what you would get out of it and how exciting it would be and what would happen and all of the things that worked in that arena. He would tell you all of the good things. And we had to make a decision. Yes, I will. No, I won't. Huh? Hallelujah. And there was no repercussions from saying no. But those that said yes, they went on. And you know what? Hallelujah. They go down in history as men of valor. The things that they do and the things that they accomplish, much of which we have no thought or idea, they go down in history as men of valor. Much like David's mighty men, I suppose. That's the position I want. That's the place that I want to find myself in at the end of the day. Huh? What is your decision? Where is it that you want to be? Are you content with what you have? Well, praise God, bless you. But I want the 100%.
Amen.
And I want to promote the 100%.
Yeah.
I suppose you can say I'm a recruiter. Hallelujah. I want the 100%. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Can we sing the song, Lord, prepare me?